friend of mine that I've known for almost 10 years. Peter Ndwati, everyone calls him Opie. He's a social worker, he's a pastor, he's husband to Esther, father to two kids. But the role that I am most in awe of is the role that he takes as a father figure for hundreds, literally hundreds of boys and young men who are from the streets of Kenya, which is a very rough place, as I'm sure you're all aware. Opie runs a ministry called iAfrica, which ministers to kids on the streets and takes kids off the streets, reintegrates them with their families, and gives them home and hope. And I've never met anyone who has such... He doesn't get disappointed as much as I would, and he continues to hope and have faith that children can turn their lives around, that God has a plan for each and every child. So I'm really excited to introduce Opie. Come up, Opie, I'll pray for you. Lord God, thank you so much for Peter and for Esther. Thank you for the ministry that you've called them to for all of these years. Thank you that you continue to pour your energy into them and continue to fill them with your faith in your goodness and your power to overcome our obstacles. Lord, I pray for Opie as he preaches to us now that you would give him wisdom, that you would fill him with the words that you want him to deliver to this church for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. Let's appreciate Anna again. Thank you. She's... And let me introduce my wife. I forgot. Just come and say hi to God's people, Esther. Please appreciate Esther.
Hi, everyone. I'm Esther. I'm wife to this wonderful, handsome man over here. And I'm very glad to be here, and I'm so, so blessed. When I was coming, I was wondering, what am I going to expect, you know? You know, I had these expectations, you know, it's a white church, you know. But I came and they're singing Swahili songs and I'm like, wow, I'm home and I'm so, so blessed to be here. I'll sing for you a short chorus, then we can continue. Glorious God, beautiful King, excellent God, I bow before your throne. Glorious God, beautiful King, excellent God, I bow before your throne. Bow before your throne, worship at your feet. Bow before your throne, you're the glorious God. Bow before your throne, worship at your feet. Bow before your throne, you're the glorious God. Come on, sing with me just a little bit. Glorious God, beautiful King, excellent God, I bow before your throne. Glorious God, beautiful King, excellent God, I bow before your throne. Bow before your throne, worship at your feet. Bow before your throne, you're the glorious God. Bow before your throne, worship at your feet. Bow before your throne, you're the glorious God. God bless you.
Thank you, Esther. Thank you. God bless you. Good morning, church. Good morning. You know, in our African church, we don't say good morning. We say, Buana Asifiwe. And you respond, amen. Buana Asifiwe. My name is Peter Nduati, and my friends call me Opi, and I'm delighted and excited to be here. Thank you, Anna, for the nice introduction. I basically want to share with you what I do, all the ministry that God has given me, and I believe that that will encourage the church into action. And I want us to get into the reading of the scripture in the book of Luke, and I believe it will be up our screens. Luke chapter 10, and verses 30 to 37. And I'm going to read, or we can read together. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.'" And the other text is, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The other text is from the book of Isaiah, Proverbs 19:17, and it says that whoever is kind to the poor lends to God, and he will reward them for what they have done. And I want to start my sermon by a famous quote from Mother Teresa. I believe all of us have read this, that not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. I'm excited this morning to just stand before God's people and share with God's people what God expects of us, because God has an agenda, and the agenda for God is for humanity, and God expects us to go out there for him to accomplish his agenda. I said I run a ministry called iAfrica. iAfrica reaches out to street children in Nairobi. We rescue, rehabilitate, and reconcile street boys where possible with their families. But what sets us apart is that our mandate is to take Jesus literally to the streets. It's not easy, because God called me, and when he called me, I was young. And to my parents, it was very crazy, because they were just like, why would you be having a promising career in journalism? I love being a journalist. When I was a young kid, I used to practice. And my dad knew that this was where I was to end up. But God called me. It wasn't easy. And to cut the whole story short is that God uses people. And since then, we have been going every day to the streets. Since the year 2005, we've been involved with Ministry for Street Children. It's never easy, because you're going out to people who are hungry, people who are afraid, people who are orphaned, people who are hopeless. And everyone has abandoned these people. And we are the people who go out there. We feed them. We love them. And out of that, since today, we have seen over 5,000 young men off the streets of Nairobi. We are so privileged to be part of what God is doing. And I believe by sharing what God is doing, you'll be excited, and you will go out there, because God expects all of us to do something. Because the solution to social justice in this country is in the church. I say the solution about social justice issues in this country is in the church. Because the church in Kenya has been in prayer for a very long time. Every time I go to the streets, the boys are hungry, but there's always a preacher who is preaching where they are, and they're not listening to this preacher. There are people who are hurting. There are people who are out there hurting. The society is hurting. They are orphan children, they are widowed women. They are young men in drugs. What is the church supposed to do? And the agenda for humanity is at the cross, when Jesus died for all of us, because we were once sinners and God gave him as a sacrifice. So since then, it has not been easy, because you risk your life. Many times I have risked being stabbed. You go home and dinner is cold. Your kids don't see you on time. You're out there talking to people. And sometimes there is no reward. Because the people we are reaching to, sometimes some are ungrateful. I remember a few months ago, we helped some street boys in the streets to start some small businesses. I was very excited because these guys had lived in the streets for years. And he told me he wanted to start a small business where he would cook soup and sell out to people. And so he attended training very well. We got a mentor, a person who sells soup in the streets, actually. He stayed under him for 3 weeks. You know, he learned how to, you know, serve ugali and soup. And he was so excited, and we provided capital for the small business. And I was excited because we rented him a small room, and we were sure that this guy is off the streets. And we prayed. He's the one who prayed and thanked God for sending us to reach out to him. And I said, I'll see you after a week, mate. And so I was armed with a camera after 1 week. And I went there very excited to take a photo. And when I got there, the shop was closed. And I asked a lady who was having another shop in the neighboring the boy, where is the boy we helped start the business here? Ah, he said that boy that day, he cooked the soup and he called his friends and they ate and they were satisfied and they were full and they closed shop. And I was so heartbroken. I was just like, how can you get an opportunity, you know, to get off the streets, to start a business, but you end up consuming your capital? I was feeling hopeless. I have come across people who are orphaned, people who have been abused sexually in the streets, people who have lost hope, and all they need is someone to go out there and tell them Jesus loves you. All they need to hear is there is a God in heaven who loves you. And that is what God is expecting the church to do. I know the church has been in prayer. Yes, we have to pray, but God is calling the church into action. Bwana asifiwe. I remember 8 years ago, in the streets of Kawangware, I came across two kids. One was 7 years, the other one was 2. Orphaned at an early age, the kids left for the streets. The parents died, they were HIV positive. Their caregiver was a grandmother. And this grandmother could not take care of them. She was a drunkard. So they were not taking their ARVs. So they were vulnerable and they were dying. And I remember they came for a feeding program and one of them was fighting to get a hot plate of soup. And I've never seen a young kid like that in the streets. And I asked the young fella, what are you doing here? Where are your parents? He said, my parents died. And the only person who is supposed to take care of me is my grandmother and she's gone drinking. I was very annoyed because I wondered which grandmother would leave such kids in the streets. And afterwards, I was called by the hospital that provides or takes care of kids who are positive. And they say these kids are almost dying because their CD4 count, the CD4 count is the ability of the body to fight the virus, it should never go below 350. And for these kids, it was at 50. So they were dying. And the doctor told me, if you can take them and give them a decent burial, that will be okay. Fast forward the story. We met the grandmother. The grandmother was heartbroken. You know, she was guilty. She felt she did not deserve even a chance to come and talk to us. She felt she had let these kids down. But 9 years down the line, one of the kids is in high school. The other kid is strong, continuing with his primary school. We reached out to the grandmother. The grandmother now helps out at iAfrica, and the kids have a hope. So ladies and gentlemen, I am an ambassador of God, just going out to encourage people that there's something you can do, not because you have the resources, but because you have the will. Because sometimes when God calls us, we just show up. And many people show up. And when they show up, you just show up for duty when God calls you. God has been faithful. I am going to write a book, and in one of my pages, I explain how God has manifested himself through the ministry. And today we have read the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this parable is reaching out to us. What is expected of us as the church? Because this parable is an invitation to have hearts of love on anybody hurting on any of the Jericho roads of life. It is essentially a parable of people not wanting to get involved with people who are suffering because of safety, because of money, because of time, or because of inconvenience. The priest passed by this man. This man was on the road. He was beaten up. He was naked. He was hurting. But the priest was worried. What was going through the mind of the priest was, what would happen to me? So he avoided and he evaded. The Levite followed. And the Levite looked at this man and bypassed this man. But the good Samaritan came. He stopped. All these people, the Levite, the priest, they were asking themselves a question probably many of us ask themselves. What will happen to me? What will happen to me if I start reaching out? What will happen to me if I give my time to charity? What will happen to me if I volunteer or I give myself to people who are reaching out to women, who are reaching out to the youths? What will happen to my money? What will happen to my time? What will happen to my family? But the Good Samaritan asked himself a question I want us to ask ourselves. What will happen to this man if I do not help him? And that is a question I pray that the church will start asking itself. What will happen to the hurting? What will happen to the hopeless? And Jesus one day said, I came to you. I was hungry. I was naked. And you did not give me even a glass of water. And people would ask, Lord, when did you come? It is that opportunity you have to go out and serve. And I pray that the church will wake up. The church will say it is our time to reach out. It is our time to go out there and spread God's love with the people who are hurting. Not only street children. Wherever opportunity comes across you to serve, go out there and serve. Because my friends, I have seen a God who can save you. One day in the year 2013, the boy I told you about was dying. We had rushed him to hospital in an ambulance. This boy doesn't die. He has been dying so many times. That day I knew he's dead. Because we left him in oxygen masks and he was fighting for his life. And when I was going home, it was after the general elections in Kenya. When I was going home, along the Ngong Road, I was carjacked by three men. And one of them hit me with a very sharp machete on this side. And he told me, hey, drive to the forest. And he drew out a gun. I was shaking, I was trembling, I was wondering, oh Lord. And they started beating me. These guys were cruel on me. They were strangling me. They took me in the forest. Our son was just a few weeks old, so my wife didn't know where I was. I had gone to the hospital. They took my phone. And they started, I think it was a mistaken identity. But they started telling me, can you give us the code to unlock? Where is the key? Where is the key? I'm just like, I don't know what key. They said, we are going to kill you. So one of them slashed me here. This is a mark. He slashed me. And I knew I was going to die. And when he cocked the gun, I told him, give me time to pray and pray for you too. So when they were checking in the car, checking, one of them saw a brochure of iAfrica. And he told the other one, hey, stop. This is the guy who goes out the streets. He's the guy who rescues the boys. We are sorry. They left me in the forest. Man, I was going to die. But because of the mandate that God has over my life, he saved me from the jaws of death. So God is calling us. My friend, I want to encourage you that when God calls you or this call for action, go out there, don't be afraid. These people are asking, what would happen to this man? What would happen to my time? What would happen? What would happen? And everyone asks themselves that question, what would happen? But what will happen to those people if we don't go out and reach out to them? As a church, where do we stand? Matters social justice. What are we doing? The solution to an ailing, hurting society is in the church. There are people out there who have not heard the gospel. My friend, I want to give my example. It is not nice at times. You go home, and the first time thing you go home, there is an apron my wife has set aside for me. Also, when I get home, I get off my tools of trade. Because most of the time you get home, you're full of fleas. And you're sitting near these guys. And these are the most interesting boys. Because today he will tell you, do you know what? My mother has died. And then tomorrow, he forgets, he tells you. Can you help me to go and see my mother? And you ask him, how many mothers do you have? These are guys who society has rejected. You can imagine being afraid in the streets alone, orphaned. And then you go to a school, and when we put them in school, they face stigmatization a lot. But let me tell you, my friend, if I was silent, today we wouldn't be having iAfrica. So God works with people, and God is talking to you today through me that he expects you to do something. There is a place for humanity in the heart of God. That is why humanity is so dear to God. Every time we read the Bible in the book of Isaiah, what is true? Fasting. He's talking about releasing the oppressed. There are so many people out there who are suffering, my friends. Probably he's your neighbor. Probably all what you need is just to stop and talk to them. Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. And every day in life you have a chance. You have an opportunity to be part of a blessing in someone's life. Not financially, because some people think it's tied to finances, yes, but there are people sometimes who need your time. Hello. Bwana asifiwe. So the Good Samaritan walked down. I believe she was going somewhere. He was inconvenienced. He was going somewhere. But he did not say, oh, what will happen to my time? And that's what God expects. That we need to get out there. We need to reach out to people who are hurting. I remember 3 months ago, a young man stopped me. And he had a big paper bag. And he told me, stop, stop, stop. And I was with some friends. And I stopped and my friends were very angry. Why are you stopping? And I stopped. What's the problem? He said, I want to talk to you. I said, talk to me because I'm rushing somewhere. Please. I want to talk to you. What's in your paper bag? Please. Can we talk? Yes. So I got out of the car. Yes, tell me. He said, please, I want to hand you this paper bag. I said, what is in the paper bag? I can't just get the paper bag and I don't know what's inside. He had a gun. And he told me I was terrorizing people with this gun. But I came when your team was feeding the street boys. And one of the boys was sharing his story. And I felt I want to abandon my life of crime. So please pray for me, take this gun. I was so shocked. Because you're looking at it and you're just like, are you sure this is what I want to do? So I went to the police station. And the police boss told me, welcome, Opi. I said, I have something in my car. Would you come? It's just like, something? I believe he thought it was money. So he came very quickly. And so I'm trying to figure out in my mind, what do I do? And I say, a young man gave me this gun in the streets. And he's just like, oh, all right. Then he told me, come to my office. And he told me, where is the young man? And in my mind, I was juggling between, do I do I say his name? Because if I say who he is, they might go for him and kill him. And so I told this officer, all I know is that the holder of this gun was blind, but now he can see. So I don't know where he is. And he stopped and said, oh, Opie, that is very touching. And I challenged him and we had a conversation. And I said, most of those criminals probably, they need to hear someone talking to them about Jesus. So today, church, imagine being unwanted, unloved, forgotten by everyone. Just like the man on the road to Jericho. It just required one man. And he stopped. And he saved a life. And I want to assure you today that if you give yourself for God and for his work, there is a God who will reward you. Sometimes people may not reward you, but there is a God in heaven. And every one of us is expected to do something in a small way or in a big way. You can be part of a movement. You can be part of a charity. You can be part of the church agenda. Because if the church wakes up, every time in the city, I see pastors preaching. And everyone is preaching. And the street boys are listening. And after that, everyone forgets them. Many times, they have gone to churches. They've been thrown out because they are dirty. Because they don't have an offering. And God is watching from heaven. I remember going to a church. And the church told me, no, We're sorry, mate. Wow, I was so heartbroken. And I phoned my wife and I told her, today we have been rejected from a church. But you know what? God has not rejected those boys. Because as long as they are in the book of life, no one can write that off. And we go out there, we speak to them. Today we have young men who have graduated from university, from vocational training. They are out there. Some have families. It all required someone to listen to God's voice and go out. And that's what God wants us to do today. To go out as a church and do something for the people who are hurting. There is something each and every one of us can do. Just look at your neighbor and tell them there is something you can do. There is something you can do. Someone somewhere is waiting for you. And I believe today, after the end of the service, you will have an opportunity to hear from people who are doing amazing work. This is an opportunity for you to hear and get involved in God's agenda. Because God's agenda is driven by people. He's not going to send his angels. Hello? As I finish or as I wind up, the four things I was trying to analyze about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And one is, don't shift the blame. Because the Samaritan didn't shift the blame. He transformed his convictions into action. God is not pleased when his children shift the blame. He wants his children to go out and do something. And in every areas of our lives, in our places of work, we have an opportunity. Because who will reach out to these people? I was talking to a friend of mine who reaches out to prisoners. And every Sunday he goes out and reaches out to these people. And he was telling me that he meets people who are rejected, people who have lost hope. But every time they leave prison, he sees them as responsible members of the society. And he told me that he has been trusting God for resources. And just the other day, someone showed up at his office, a person he doesn't know, and he left a check. And you know, he was afraid. He didn't want to pick the check. He was like, oh, this must be a ghost. And you know, in our culture, if you find a check and you don't know who dropped the check, you must think it must be the devil. I believe so. We get scared. There are all those superstitions. So he didn't pick the check. And he was like, this is someone trying to initiate me into devil worship. And he was like, oh my. But he remembered that the check was equivalent to the needs of the work that he was doing. And he heard the angel of God tapping his shoulder and speaking to him and telling him, faithful son, I have heard your cry. So he was telling me he was so excited to continue reaching out to prisoners. Don't shift the blame. Don't count the cost. Because the Samaritan was inconvenienced. He had to pay the denary. And sometimes people count the cost. But you cannot tag any value to the soul of a human being. You cannot tag. It is not equivalent to any money. But that satisfaction. I remember as I wind up, a boy I met in the streets. And he looked crazy to me because he had this mohawk hairstyle. He had his hair dyed. And I thought he was crazy because he said, I want to come to the center. Hey, and I said, mate, stop. Just cool down. And he said, I want to come. And I said, you don't force your way. We talk because you must understand what you're getting yourself into. And he said, I want to come. And we went with him. And this little fella, he had a small paper written in his pocket. It was a phone number. And I thought he was having superstitions or... Because why would you get a foreign number? And he told, this is my mother's number. My mother is in Saudi Arabia. And I thought, oh my goodness, your mother is in Saudi Arabia. I thought, you're joking. I took the phone and I phoned. And a lady on the other side answered. And she couldn't believe it. She said, oh my God, I thought my son died. Oh, my son is alive. My son is alive. She left Saudi Arabia. And she came home to be reunited with a son who she thought died in the streets. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a call to action. Don't count the cost. Don't count the reward. Sometimes there is no reward. It takes your time. It takes you off the comfort zone. It takes your energy. But be assured, there's a God in heaven who rewards. And don't count the risk. Because God has provided that he will watch over you. That road to Jericho was very dangerous. It was a dangerous road. But these people reached out. The Good Samaritan is a story to all of us. It is a call for action to the church. There is something we can do for all of us. These people were asking what would happen to them. But the Good Samaritan asked a question, what would happen to him? And that is what God is speaking to us today and this morning. Is something we can do for the hurting, for the hopeless, for the oppressed, for the people out there in our communities, in our places of work. And lastly, don't count the sacrifice. Don't count the sacrifice. Because sometimes if you look at the people who need help, most of it is emotional. They just need to hear someone telling them, I love you. They just need to hear someone saying, God loves you. And it's not asking too much of us. Sometimes there's someone who needs you to walk into where they are, sit down with them, pray with them, and tell them, God loves you. As I wind up, I have seen God work in the lives of so many. I have seen miracles. Miracles. I have seen God healing these boys. I've seen God restoring them. I've seen God working in them. And as you sit there, as you listen and as you ask, what can you do for someone out there who is hurting? What can you do for someone out there? I pray I have inspired you. I pray that I have encouraged someone. And I pray that the voice of God will speak to you this morning. As a church, as individuals, as you go out there to reach out to what is dear to God. Because the true and pure religion, as James says, is this. It's taking care of the poor and the widow. And as I finish, Israel had a policy for the poor. That is why it's a prosperous nation. In Leviticus 19, I think we read of instructions given when they were harvesting. They were told, do not harvest everything. Leave some for the poor. The poor will always be with us, Jesus said. Those who are poor spiritually, materially, those who are suffering, you can do something. You can say today, I have heard the voice of God. and I'll do something for God. Thank you so much. I hope you've been blessed. May the Lord bless you.
Yeah, thank you so much, OPM. And we want to continue in really an